If you have checked out the show over the last couple days, you may have heard us talk about the film Boyhood that is starting tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Yep, opens tomorrow.
It's a fantastic film. I saw the screening of it on Monday night, and it is, I'm not exaggerating here, it is one of the best films I have ever seen. If I were to rank my top 20 of all time, I'd have to knock something out and put this in. That it is that good.
Surprisingly enough, it's getting so much buzz, but it's only showing in Dallas at the Magnolia and in Plano at the Angelica, but don't expect that to be in wide release at all the big multiplexes in no time.
Richard Linklater, the director of the film, the guy who wrote it, the guy who helmed it, and again, as we were saying, maybe if you don't know this, this film chronicles the life of a young boy from the time he is 6 to the time he is 18. It is 12 years in the making, and all the actors remain the same. All the actors that are in it for that entire period of time remain the same. It is truly a remarkable piece of filmmaking. And Richard is going to join us here in just a bit. But right now, we have one of the drunken ex-husbands in the film, the second drunken ex-husband in the film out here with us at Fat Daddy's.
That's my official name in the movie. Yes. The second drunk ex-husband.
It's my official role on this show.
He is a Dallas actor, Brad Hawkins, with us here.
Yeah.
Hi, Brad. What's up, guys?
Hello, Fat Daddy's. What's happening?
Yeah.
Right on. I'm applauding you.
Awesome. It's really cool to have you out here with us. And again, I can't say enough about what I thought about this film. I missed the first half hour of it. And got there kind of late, stuck my head in the theater, you know, right where the ramp leads up to it and everything, and thought, okay, I'll watch about 10 minutes of this and get out of here because there were no seats. And I was so enthralled that I stood there and watched the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, we're talking 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yes. It's,
right up there with Transformers. You
right.
Know?
Same type of movie, too.
Oh, yeah, we got robots and everything. Actually, the exact opposite. There's no CGI, no robots, no aliens, and you just got to sit there and enjoy a great story, you know, just a great coming-of-age slice-of-life story that, you know, we filmed over 12 years. Most people, that's the part that it takes a while for that to register, is that's never been done before. You know, documentaries have covered a long amount of time, but a narrative with a fictional story and a family to follow someone for 12 years has never been done.
Did you have any idea while you were going through the process of making this film, and they got you 7 years into the story, right? Basically?
Yeah, okay. Right around there, yeah.
All right. Did you have any idea, maybe once you completed filming your part, and you probably just went on with the rest of your life, that this thing would end up with this type of momentum and this type of buzz?
No, I mean, we knew it was going to be special, and I think, you know, once Rick gets on the line, he'll talk about, in, you know, creating this. He always did it because he knew it was going to be special. A special independent film, low budget, yeah, absolutely. But to have Rolling Stone, you know, saying it's the movie of the year, or have a Yahoo movie saying it's the first Oscar contender of this year, having people like that say stuff like that is humbling. I mean, it's just going, now it's out of our hands. It's one of those things we're just letting everybody else talk their good talk.
I tweeted out the New York Times review yesterday, I think, and at the end of the review, the guy, whoever it was, said he's seen it 3 times and he plans on seeing it again, and he goes, I can't really describe why this film means so much to me, but it does. And that was enough. It was enough to make me, you know, to give me pause. And if these really stuffy, typically arrogant, you better entertain me,
yeah,
or I'm going to rip the hell out of you. If all these same people are saying this, that it's so incredibly moving, I mean, I was sitting there reading that going, I have to go see this weekend.
Yeah. D Magazine sent that thing. They were like, this is one of the things you need to go do this weekend. And I think where that comes into play is, if, and I mentioned it in the Q&A, you know, at the screening the other night, is, if you're a parent, it appeals to a part of your parenthood, like having trouble, you know, dealing with your child growing up and go through those stages of their life where they either need your attention or don't need your attention, don't want too much attention. You know, if there's a parenting part there, and if you're not a parent, it appeals to the childhood of you go, God, I remember that. I remember getting bullied. I remembered that girl. I remember getting turned down by that girl. I remembered all these stages you went through in your life. It's like it appeals, and I think that's what makes it appealing to a mass audience, no matter what the demographic, 18 to 80. You know, that's something that's very special about the movie.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about your scene in it, and I really wish I would have asked this the other night, because you play the second ex-husband of Patricia Arquette. And when we first see you, you've just gotten back from
Iraq.
From Iraq, mm-hmm. And you're very proud of your achievements in the military.
Yeah.
You're talking about them and everything, and you're very, very upbeat. And it seems like, you know, I was thinking, okay, it looks like she's found herself a good dude here.
Yeah.
This guy will be a good stepfather to her son. And then the next time we see you, you're sitting at the table, you're wearing a Department of Corrections outfit, mm-hmm. and you're drinking beer out of a can and just looking down and looking totally beaten down. Did you do those two scenes back to back?
No. There's every scene pretty much, when you say back to back, means a year. So that whenever I shot the table scene, the big scene where I'm talking about how we were overseas, and the amazing part of that story, just a little, you know, backstory, was that scene, you know, Richard, we basically didn't have a script for that scene.
Yeah.
And most of the movie, we created that as we went with Richard. And Richard, we grabbed one of the crew guys that had been overseas, a couple of tours. We sat down with him. He told us his story, and that was his story that I told. So the cool part was I got to basically tell his story in the movie. And so in a way, he's a part of the movie because it's his story, you know. So it was super cool, super cool. So in that scene, I was able to do that. After we were done, adios, Brad, and I'll call you in a little while, which meant pretty much like the next 10 months.
Yeah.
And can you come back down to Austin? Because now we're, you know, moved on in the storyline.
And do me a favor and stay alive.
Yeah, right? And that's the thing. We say it, but anything could have happened in 12 years.
You know? Any of these people.
Anything. You know, maybe one of the lead actors goes, you know what? My family's relocating. We're going to Australia. I don't know. You know, but we're not going to be in the States. We're not going to be able to finish that. And, you know, going from concept to the finished product, everything went to plan, and that's just what's miraculous about it.
Let us now say hello to the man with the plan behind this great Richard Linklater. He was joining us on the phone. Good afternoon.
I don't want to interrupt Brad for a second.
What's up, Rick? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I'm here, man. I got a whole captive audience. You should see this place. This is a good-looking crowd over here.
Yeah.
I find myself in San Francisco today. I've got some screenings tonight here, so.
Nice.
How are things in Dallas?
I guess they're great, and Mike, the other guy who's going to talk here in a second, he saw a screening the other night. I haven't seen it yet, but we were just talking to Brad about the momentum that this film is gaining, and about the way people are talking about it. And I guess it's every director's it's your dream to have this leading up to the opening of the film, where literally nobody has a bad thing to say about it.
I know. I've had many films get great reviews, but nothing quite as across the board like this, where it's not just do they like it, they kind of, there's this extra thing. And I think it's that 12 years of effort that we couldn't hide. You know, the film's very realistic and natural, but it's obvious the work that went into it. So I think people are kind of amazed at the commitment, you know, that everyone showed, that the over 400 people who worked on it put forth, you know. So it kind of is there, you know, this whole notion of time in our lives and things, you know, how that works.
What was it like when you first started pitching the idea of this to the actors and maybe Patricia Arquette and some of the other people that you had to explain the concept of this to?
Patricia swears I called her up and said, what are you doing the next 12 years? You know? But I just started talking about the story, and well, think about it. Artists get it. What do actors do? They take their characters through time. They think about a trajectory. How often are you offered in one movie a 12-year canvas to play your character out on? Or some actors, you know, Brad got a 3-year canvas. Others get, you know, longer. You know, it's just, you never get that opportunity. So artists get it. They were like, yeah, cool. Look at the possibilities. That's something I haven't seen before. You know, that would be, you know, think of the opportunity we have here to really say something. When then you talk to business people, and it's kind of a different mentality. It's kind of like, oh, well, that sounds like a risk. That sounds, in fact, that sounds crazy. And maybe they're right. Maybe they're right in a certain way. But, you know, in this case, the artist won out. You know, we got to make this film. I mean, we did it for nothing. You know, we did it for as cheap as possible. No one got paid. Everyone, you know, just committed, and it was a thing we did all these years, but we got it made. So, and
you know, you talk about you hear other directors say that they've had an idea in their head forever, and that turns into Saving Private Ryan, or that turns into Star Wars, or whatever. Had this been in your head for a long time, and this is just, you know, 12 years ago was the first time that it actually you had the opportunity to make it come to fruition?
Well, I think it had actually. It hit a little earlier. I think I'd been thinking about it just a few years. I've done those films where I've had it in my head for 10 years or longer. And the magic of that is you've had all that gestation time. By the time you're making it, you know the tone so well. You've made it in your head a lot. So this film, I'd been a parent for a while, and I just started thinking about childhood and growing up and developing and parenting also. So I was trying to express something about that. And the idea for this, of how to express it on a broader canvas, that came to me rather early. 2 years, but it solved my narrative cinema storytelling problem. So that was, it came to me in kind of one big flash, like how to, how this story could work, you know.
Now, Brad was talking about, you know, obviously the most important character in the film is the boy, and what was the process like finding a 6-year-old that you can look at, or maybe look at his parents and say, is this going to work out? I mean, this, it just seems like a monstrous risk.
Yeah, I mean, it was huge decision. You know, obviously that's the single biggest decision this movie whatever have, you know, the biggest choice. But it's kind of an all-encompassing act, you know. You're sort of casting the parents, you're casting the family. I mean, you can't, you know, you want this to be them to feel this is a good thing in their kid's life to do every year, and he thought that way too. So we got very lucky. He was kind of the different kid. He was the one who was, he was very thoughtful and sensitive and, you know, excited about music and movies, and he could talk to you all about that, but he wasn't too cute, you know. He was just kind of himself,
right?
And I liked the way he thought. So, and I thought, oh, he's kind of going down an artistic path, you know. So you didn't know exactly where that would be, but I made that choice, you know. If I was, there was a part of me as a kid, I was like probably obsessed with football and, you know, that at that age, and I met a lot of those kids, but I went with the artist thinker sensitive kid, and that's who he is today, you know, Eller Coltrane. He's this very, you know, thoughtful, sensitive young man. You know, he's kind of the same guy, and he's, you know, but we got very, very lucky. He was very dedicated to the film. He really looked forward to it every year and gave it everything he had at every stage of his life. You know, it was pretty amazing journey for him, you know.
This is Richard Linklater and Brad Hawkins of the film Boyhood with us here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Now, I'm about to run the risk of doing something you artiste types don't like, and that is doing a little comparing. But the film, as I was watching it, reminded me of so many other films that I'm a particular sucker for. One is Stand By Me and the slice of life way that it went through the lives in that period of those kids in that movie. The other is Diner, which was just, it was a film about the passing of time. Now, the passing of time was only a week in Diner, where, as opposed to 12 years, but that was the thing I took away from it. This film, really, when you take everything else away, it is about the passing of time, I thought.
Yeah, and it's an intimate character study. Both those films you described, you really get to know those people. You know, you feel like you're privy to their lives and their little quirks and eccentricities, and just, you know, they're not caught in some huge narrative, you know. It's only the kind of a life that feels very similar that you can relate to. So I think it's in that, you know, in that world to whatever degree. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I great choice with Stand By Me, even though it's more of an ensemble of, you know, younger kids, you know, and their journey together. One thing that, you know, like, keeps going unspoken, but the soundtrack for the movie, it tells the story like what it did for me in Forrest Gump. I know that's a weird analogy, but in Forrest Gump, it was the music of the 70s, and it followed every time you listen to a scene. That's that moment in time that music has that ability to do, is to mark that moment in time of where were you when you heard this.
Right.
It transports you to that one point. Richard did that, and I mean, this soundtrack is probably 50 songs long, and I mean, it's miraculous. You just go, God, I remember that, and I remember where I was, not where this character is, but for him, that's his moment, or their moment, but you remember where you were when you heard that, because it's covering this, you know, this amount of time, over a decade.
Now, Richard's daughter also plays a big part of the film. What was that like, working with her?
You know, it was just so easy. I don't know any other way to describe it. I know her so well. I can ask her to do, hey, Lorelai, do that little thing with your mouth that's so annoying. It'll be funny in the movie.
You know,
I'm so familiar with her. So for us, and it was no big deal for her to be in the movie, she sort of cast herself in this part. I didn't meet a bunch of young girls for that part. Once she realized there was a part for her, an 8-year-old girl, like someone in her age range, she's like, oh, well, I'm playing that part. So, but I was glad to know. I knew I would know where she was every year, which was one less volatile element
That matters a lot.
It does matter. There's a practical side to filmmaking. You know, people, they often make it sound kind of lofty and artistic, which on one level it is, but on another level, there's just a real practical, logistical side to it that you really have to be aware of and make work for you. You know, you can't, you know, so this film could have gone wrong any number of ways, you know, so it was reducing that risk as much as possible.
How much of this story is you? It seems like a lot of the films you make, there's a little bit of you in every one of them. How much of this, this kid is you?
Oh my God, my sisters watched this movie at South By, and we sort of huddled up. I was nervous for them. I have two sisters. I kind of amalgamated them into one. But it's pretty close. I mean, a lot of it. But it's. I think personal is a good way to start, but by the time I collaborate with my cast and I bring it up to the present moment and the world around, it becomes something else that's much more collaborative and just away from yourself enough to be comfortable with it as not, you know, not a documentary of your life or anything. But there were elements from this that all, I would say this, everything from this movie came from something in real life, you know, that was real to somebody, if not me. It was important that it was tethered to someone's reality. Mm-hmm.
And logistically, before we let you go, logistically, you know, we talk about, we were half joking about, you know, stay alive, we'll see you in a year. But was there a time, you know, when you gathered the boy and the boy's family and Ethan and Patricia, you know, the people that were going to be in it for all 12 years, that you said, all right, let's shoot in July each year? Or was it something where you called up at the first of the year and said, hey, can we do it now? Or was there a certain specific time?
Yeah, it wasn't a same time next year kind of thing. It was always just what was going on in our lives. And it wasn't, you know, I'd say we shot between 8 and 16 months usually. There was never any set thing. As soon as we shot 1 year, we might start looking at the calendar for, like, Patricia and Ethan are really busy. I was busy. You know, I made a lot of other films in this 12-year era. So, I mean, we were all committed, but, you know, we had these other things we were doing, too. So it was always a bit of a logistical jujitsu to get us all. We would find these sweet spots, and then we just kind of, everyone would have to fall in. So certain crew members wouldn't be available. I would have to use different people. But for the most part, everybody was able to come back every year in the same capacity. So, but logistically, the film's kind of crazy. You know, don't even talk about it. It was an insane undertaking on that level.
Well, you've made a lot of great films, but with this one, sir, I think you've outdone yourself. It's really, really great. I really enjoyed seeing it the other night, and I really appreciate you and you, Brad, coming on.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I'm really proud of this as a Texas movie, too. I can't emphasize that enough. It never leaves the Texas border, you know?
Yeah, and everybody's here, except for Patricia, I believe. Everybody was either a cast or crew from Texas. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So the boy is from Texas as well?
Yeah, every single cast member was Texas except Patricia was the only one who was.
Ethan's from here as well.
Yeah,
Ethan's
that's true.
Ethan's born in Austin, kind of grew up in the Dallas, and has a lot of relatives in Texas. So
nice, man. Congrats on everything, you and Brad. This is it's pretty amazing to hear all the buzz. I can't wait to see how it all unfolds over the next couple months.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, but we're having fun with it. So anyway, good talking to you guys.
All right, be good, man. Yeah.
Good talking to you, too.
Care, Brad.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
Brad. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Brad Hawkins and Richard Linklater of the film Boyhood. Go check it out this weekend. You will thank us later. All right, up next.
All right, we had a massive, massive moment of panic.
Discomfort,
panic, everything yesterday. We have to review it and get an explanation next.